Trustees, do you feel ready to begin our fun? Yes, superintendent?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the September 13th, 2021 meeting of the Hillsborough City School District at 6 o'clock. Call to order. Let's do salute to the flag in that corner over there. Please rise
and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Thank you. Moving on to 1.2, approval of the agenda. Any trustees have any updates to the agenda? Seeing none, I move that we approve the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ann Chen. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. 1.3, approval of the minutes. I believe there was a correction to the minutes by Trustee Dennis. Just to surface that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I've got it right here. One second. Let me just. Thank you, Trustee Geddes. Let me just pull this up. One second.
That would be in item 8, I think. In the minutes,
so
it said.
Right here. So the correction is that instead, it said in the minutes, County Boundary Committee, and we'd like to correct the minutes to reflect that it's the San Mateo County Committee on School District Organization.
So that's one update. Are the trustees have any other updates to the minutes? In that case, I move to approve the minutes as amended. Is there a second? Second by Gilbert. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. That's the minutes. On to number 2, regular reports. Hillsborough Teachers Association. Do we have Alec?
Yes.
Wonderful. Not yet. Alec McKenzie.
Hello. Hello.
It sounds like it's on, but I'm not certain.
Hello.
I don't think so.
You might be in the black hole. We'll have to see.
Hello, is that better?
No.
Well, I'm a teacher. I can project my voice. Is
that okay? It's supposed to be recorded.
Hello?
Can you try the podium, maybe? Is that possible?
Come on over here, Alex. Sorry about that. I think we tried them ahead of time. But.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Is that working? Okay.
Excellent.
If I stand up tall, can you still hear me? Yeah, does that work? Okay, I don't need to be right there. I just wanted to say what a great start to the school year HTA is having, we're all having, and I wanted to send a special thank you to all the administrators who have been helping to support HTA, especially some of you principals I've been working with over the past few weeks over different issues that have come up, all workable and collaborative. It's been a really strong start to the school year for all of our members, and we're looking forward to a really good start throughout. We're also really optimistic and feeling great about the negotiations starting. We're so collaborative in this district, and we're so lucky to have the relationship we do between our board and our union. It's not like that in a lot of places, as I'm sure the board members know. And we do really have a spirit of collaboration between the negotiators and the administration here, and we do not take that for granted. So we're looking forward to a very positive outcome for both sides on negotiations as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Alec. And a brief note, Alec has been on the teachers negotiating committee for many, many years, but now that he's moved on to president, is no longer on the committee, so we will miss you in that table. 2.2, CSEA, Dee Mooring.
Yes, Dee Mooring, CSEA. We completely agree with HTA and Alec that the school year is starting so well, and we also very much appreciate the relationship that we all have with each other and the spirit of cooperation and collaboration that is evident from the board to the administration, the teachers, and the classified staff. We love working with our teachers and with the other members of the classified staff. And it just makes for a great beginning of a school year. And the kids really are the beneficiaries of all of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dee. 2.3, APG, Courtney.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, all of the schools have been busy planning their new parent receptions the past few weeks since our last Board of Trustees meeting. North, South, and Crocker and Rise were all last week, and West is this coming Friday. And I heard from all of the parent group presidents that they were just overwhelmed by the support of the trustees and the attendance. South, I think, got 100% trustee attendance, which is amazing. They were super stoked about that. So many thanks for coming to those. We know how busy you all are. And we are excited, all the parents are very excited that volunteers are returning back to campuses. We're hoping that that will help the educators lighten their load, and parents are anxious to get back onto campus. So we're excited to be rolling that out in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Courtney. 2.4, HSF, Bree McCall.
Good evening, everyone. Just a reminder and a plug that Giving Day is on September 23rd, and green t-shirts are being distributed this week to all teachers and staff, so look for those. Also, HSF has lawn signs for pickup at the HSF office, or I have personally delivered quite a few to people's homes, so that's available too. Others will help, so let us know. Our annual report has been sent, and many of them have been received. Also, we have text to donate. If you would like to donate now, you can text HSF to 650-772-4911. And a big thank you to all the principals, to all the teachers and staff, and the parent groups for all of the shout outs at the What to Expect nights, for including HSF at your receptions and all of your welcome back events. It's been a really exciting start to the year, so thank you.
Thank you, Bree, and thanks for an annual report for the trustees. We got that tonight, so appreciate that. 2.5, superintendent's report, Luann Carlamagno.
All righty. Just a quick shout out to HTA and CSEA. We are just so thankful for your partnership. I think that we have the success that we have in our district because there's such a collaborative spirit, and when challenges arise, and they're always going to, we work together to solve them, and I'm just so thankful about that. So just wanted to share that. Wanted to thank everyone for participation in our professional development day. The lion's share was definitely planned by Matthew and Bhavna, so thank you so much for your efforts on that. We shared our little coherence document, and I'll be bringing that to the board in October. And we really focused the day on our multi-tiered systems of support. We talked about giftedness. And then we talked about staff and student health and wellness. And so it was a really good morning. And then the afternoon, staff had time to plan collaboratively, working on these topics and other topics of interest and importance. So it was a good day overall. Parent group events, thank you to our parents for hosting such amazing events. Crocker, North, South, and Rise really did tremendous jobs. I look forward to West. Our Wildcats are this coming Friday. Just lovely events, welcoming new parents to their schools. And it was just a wonderful time to celebrate all that is going well. So I'm excited about that. And then thank you, Bree, and Courtney brought this up. Our parents are coming back onto campus, and boy, have we missed them. So it's been a little bit of a slow roll, just getting everything in order. They need to be fully vaccinated, and we're just looking at all the logistics around that, but so happy to have them back. And just wanted to do a little shout out to all the COVID testing we've been doing in the district. 98.5% of our staff members are fully vaccinated. So they get COVID tested every 2 weeks. And for the very few folks who are not fully vaccinated, they get tested twice a week. So, and I just want to do a shout out to our parents. The first round of testing we had, 854 families, students participated. And before that, when we had our testing day, we had over 800. And Maureen has just been instrumental in so much of the testing logistics that have really resulted in really easy access for our families to be able to do COVID testing with their students. So overall, since the beginning of school, we've had two COVID cases that have been diagnosed in the district. So really happy that people are so proactive around this. And all that data can be found on our district website. So if you want to take a look at that, that is on our district website. And I'm going to pause for a moment and invite Larry Raffo to come up to give an update on the fans that have been installed. You'll remember at the last board meeting, we were waiting on that to happen, and it's happened. So, Larry, if you could give us an update, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Do you want me to take my mask off, or does it make any difference?
Do whatever you're comfortable doing.
Okay, I'll do that then. The one part of my report from last month that I couldn't give you much information on were the ceiling fans because of shipping and delivery delays. Well, happy to report that the fans arrived at the district office on Monday, August the 30th. Star Energy, the installers, were aware that the shipment should arrive, so they had a crew here on Tuesday the 31st, and they started work on their swing schedule the afternoon of the of August 31st, installing fans at South School. Little glitch at South, so they moved on to North and Crocker and West, came back to South, and all of the fans were installed by the early afternoon of Friday, September 3rd. So all the fans are in. Yours truly went around on Sunday, September 5th, and tested all of the fans to make sure they all worked. There weren't any hassles, and also to get familiar with some of the newness of these fans. And everything was working fine. The teachers were kept informed every step of the way. So they actually started using their fans, the ones who had them, on the afternoon of September 3rd after their professional improvement day. Which was fine. And by Tuesday, September 7th, all of them were using their fans. The fans have been working fine, got a lot of positive comments from the teachers. The closest complaint I got was from an unnamed teacher from one of the elementary schools who wanted to know why she didn't get a fan. So I used my administrative skills and told her to see her site administrator as to why she didn't get a fan. Haven't heard anything since. And the last thing I wanted to report to you today is that today I sent to the teachers and sent copies to the principals of the rubric that the teachers who have these fans are going to use to evaluate the use of the fans, and they also have that they're supposed to fill out at least part of it complete, and some questions that they will answer. I've given them 3 weeks, from today the 13th through Monday, October 4th, and we'll get that information back. This was all supposed to happen in phase one with those teachers who had the original fans, but because of COVID, they were gone. We didn't, and with a few that came back, didn't have kids. And so we weren't able to get a lot of feedback that was more official than what we're hoping for now. So they have that information. They'll be working on that and just sharing that information with me at the beginning of October. And we hope to have some information back to you maybe in the October board meeting as to the success of these fans. And the last thing, just to share, the fans are in. Norman Wright is put in. They're the distributor. Put in their invoice for supplying the fans on budget. Star Energy completed the installation. Their invoice is coming in on budget, so we don't have any overruns of any kind on this particular project. Want to send a special thank you to Ron Russo, who did a great job keeping track of the fans and getting the schedule set for the work that had to be done on the installation. Mike Wasserman stayed on Norman Wright to continue to follow the tracking of the fans while they were en route. And it was just a real, real positive interaction for everybody. Star Energy on the great installation and the speed with which they installed those fans and getting them operating. So that concludes my report. I'll be happy to take any questions you might have. Otherwise, that's it.
Great. Larry, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just in case, hang there for a few minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
I just want to finish my superintendent's report and just point out our assessed property values. And what I'm so excited about is it's the highest level we've had in a start since the 2017-18 school year. So Our assessed property values are starting out this year at 4.17. You can see the tiny little yellow dot up there. And for those of you who maybe are not monthly board meeting goers, a lot of our budget is really based on that assessed property value. So that's just good news for us to start this calendar year or school year. So just excited about that. That's it for me.
Trustees, any questions or comments on the regular reports you've heard so far this evening? Greg Dennis.
Well, I just wanted to say, Larry, you're here to thank everyone else, and no one's here to thank you. So on behalf of the board, and I'm sure everyone here, thank you so much.
Thank you
for all your continuing efforts.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It really has.
Any public comment? Any members of the public have any comments on the regular reports this morning, this evening? Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
We'll move on to item three, current business. 3.1, granting of permanent status. Luann.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and over to the podium and invite a few folks up there, so bear with me. Okay, so I'm going to invite a few folks up to the podium here in a minute, but before I do that, I want to do a shout out to Dolly. So Dolly, will you just stand up so everyone can see you? And I want to give Dolly a round of applause because she just works she just works hours and hours in getting our newbies ready to be in our district, given permanent status, and she just does a tremendous job. And also Matthew Lindner, who does a whole welcome program every year for our teachers and our classified staff, and really has them understand what it means to be an educator in the Hillsborough City School District. And we have our own little secret sauce, right? And so it's really important that people who come to us understand what our goals and initiatives and hopes and dreams are for our students. And thanks in large part to really all of our educators mentoring our new teachers and new staff into the district. So I am going to invite up Joey Ogle. Come on up. I'm going to make you guys stand right here by me. And then I'm going to invite up Melissa Belli, Lauren Jensen, and Caitlin Orwin. So come on over. Okay. So, super excited. Dolly, do you want to come down here and help me with these in just a minute? It is truly an honor to gain permanent status in the Hillsborough City School District. And when we hired you because you had something that we knew would make us better. And so now we get to be a part of that better. You get to be a part with us. And so Joey is math and science and makerspace at Crocker. And he really took on makerspace the first year we had it when we really were new to the whole scene. We knew that we had the funds and people like Joey were the ones who made the program come alive, so super happy about that. Caitlin Orwin is a second grade teacher at South, and she has been in the district for a couple years now. Did a lot of work with virtual and is just rocking it as a South Tiger. So there's got a few South Tigers here. And then we have, again, Lena, of course, loves her peeps. Lauren Jensen, speech and language pathologist, and has been doing time. I think you've been doing some time up at North with our mm-hmm. Learning Center. Up at North has been spending time there. And then Melissa Belli has been doing, is a resource specialist at South, again, serving students who need additional learning time and really embracing those students and their families. And so it is a rigorous process to become, to gain permanent status in our district. There's a lot of walkthroughs in the classroom, observations, evaluations, conferences, and learning, right? They're on a growth curve of learning. So tonight I present these four educators to our Board of Trustees asking for your approval to grant them permanent status. And if you do, I have some prizes for them, some gifts. So.
Thank you, Luann. Trustees, any questions or comments about permanent status? Members of the public, any public comment about permanent status? Seeing none, would someone like to make a motion? No, then I will. I move that the board grant permanent status to Joey Ogle, Melissa Belli, Lauren Jensen, and Caitlin Oren.
I second.
Second by Greg Dennis. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Don't go away.
We'll take a 1 minute break. As you
yes, I think there might be some folks who want to do some photos with them outside. So
maybe we can take a 5 minute break then.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Can we do 5 minutes?
Sure. We'll do a 5 minute break.
Thank you, Trustee Geddes. Can't help it. They're like my little babies now.
Hello, everyone. We will come back from our recess. And our chatting and our catching up and all the fun things that we like to do. And move on to 3.2, Summer Programming Report from Tony Giacomazzi.
Good evening. I'm going to do my presentation from here. So traditionally, this presentation is done by the summer school principal. This summer was the first time where we did an out-of-district principal. And so the fact that she's back at her school district working, I didn't want to bother her on a Monday night. And so I actually wanted to present what we did, but also change it up a little bit and share how we used your facilities this year. I think the school board needs to see that we just do more than just summer school. So I wanted to share that. So Hillsborough Recreation utilized Hillsborough's campuses quite often this summer. So here are the programs we ran. I'm not going to read them to you, but a couple of the highlights obviously are our own summer camp, our own summer school, the Makerspace camps, the Crocker Leap, which was a new program, a robotics program that we ran in-house, Emerging Leaders, which was our middle school and our older middle school students stepping up and being leaders for a junior CIT kind of program, counselor and training. And then we ran partner programs at West and South with Champion and Adventures in Writing. So our Hillsborough Recreation Enrichment Summer School, just a reminder, it is Enrichment Summer School. So it's meant to be a sort of break from the traditional standards-based program. So what we do is we do take over a theme and we provide it for our whole summer. Stephanie Scala was from Belmont Redwood Shores. She was our principal this summer. She oversaw 32 staff members, including ESY. So ESY is the extended school year program that the summer school principal oversees, as well as the preschool Tiny Tots through fifth grade enrichment summer school program. We had 135 students. And while I normally don't care as much about finances, this year was important because of the last 20 months we had. So I wanted to just share that we did have a gross profit of about $150,000 this year. And through all of the 20 days we had zero COVID cases. I thought that was important to share as well. Our Hive Summer Camp, this is our second year running it in full. Obviously, last summer was in the depths of COVID, so we were learning as we went. This year we ran, last summer it was 4-week sessions, so a 4-week session and a 4-week session. This year was 2-week sessions, so we halved it. We actually saw 350 kids over those 9 weeks this summer. We also hired in-house. So one of the things that we're super proud of is being able to hire our former students, so Crocker alum. So we hired 21 students, which is about half of our staff, which was great. And again, this is a program that we run at Crocker North. It's enrichment, it's after school, it's run around, it's fun, it's summer. It's exactly what it's meant to be for summer. Less structured, more play. We do archery, we do tennis, we do golf, we do in play. So it's fun. Crocker Leap and Emerging Leaders. These are two new programs that we started this year with the help of Brian Sarabian, who's my recreation supervisor. He came up with this idea that we weren't capturing fifth graders at summer school. So this was a trend that we'd seen over the years. Fifth graders just weren't attending summer school anymore. Typically, we topped out at fourth grade. So how do we get fifth graders involved in a summer camp, summer school-like program? They traditionally will go sleepaway camp. Walton's Grizzly Lodge is a one that's pretty famous for everybody. So we knew that there was a bunch of these kids who hadn't been on campus in a long time and were transitioning to Crocker, so we created this Crocker Leap program. We created spots for three groups of 12 based on the cohort rules. And so we had 36 kids actually register right away with Mr. Bowie, Mr. Hager, Miss Mendelson. And they ran sort of like a mini school day. So they ran it from 8:30 to 12, 11:30 with a recess, with the Crocker store open. They ran like bagel Wednesdays like they do at school. They did the passing periods. They kind of created a mini Crocker program for them. And I would say that it was super successful in that the kids got to meet kids from other schools. They got to be on campus for the first time. And again, they navigated Crocker for the first time. So we helped them through that. And then Emerging Leaders was another program that Mr. Mendelson and Ms. Mendelson Bowie and Brian created, which was basically a way to figure out how to help our 7th and 8th graders who just aren't ready for a job, but they're a little too old for camp. So they're always sort of like trying to find what to do. And so we created this Emerging Leaders program, which allowed us to have those kids sort of trained to be counselors. So we had 40 of them, which assisted in our Crocker Leap, our Hive Day Camp, and the summer school program. So those were majority Crocker students. We did have a couple outside of Crocker that came and did it as well. But it was a great program to watch. My son did it. I see Jen Salma Reese did it. We also had just a bunch of kids participating. And again, they got to see what camp life is like. for Hive, and then we're sort of building the training ground for our future counselors. Another popular program is Bouncing Around the Bay. So we continued to run that program. This year they are the largest. They ran five groups of 14, 70 students. These are the outings they go on. It's a great program. It's mostly outdoors, so they do a lot of traveling. Again, zero COVID cases. We were taking buses, a lot of stress on getting there and doing what we need to do. We're sort of in the middle of the time where it was like, take your mask off outside, indoors is optional kind of thing. And our kids followed the rules strictly. So it was really great to see. These kids had a great time. Every time I saw them coming back from their field trip, they were exhausted, which is exactly, I think, what parents signed them up for. So this is a great program, and again, really successful. And the other one that we run at in-house as well is Nature Camp with Sally and Perry. And this is, we had 60 participants over a 4-session plan. So they did like 2 2-week sessions. They had it based on advanced and intermediate writers. So they did kind of a balance of abilities, because the last couple of years they've been doing sort of a group. You have some kids who can really ride a bike and some who can't. So this was an opportunity to balance it based on abilities. And they did some great biking. They really go far. I mean, it's impressive how far they take and push those kids. And again, coming back with smiles, and they learn a lot with our teachers. Ms. Orwin, who is one of our people today, was also part of that team. We ran our Hive robotics program this year. So one of the things we did before COVID crushed our dreams, I guess, for Hillsborough Rec, we actually started a robotics program at Crocker. And so this summer we tried it again with these the Rev Robotics program. It's a EV3. It's all set up to build. So we build it and we code it. So we teach. We had two actually D-Tech students come and teach this program for our kids, and then they brought the D-Tech robot in from the robotics team on the Friday. So it was a really cool opportunity for those kids to sort of learn some perspective of building and working together as a team again, because they had been so isolated. Great program that we can hope to continue. Troy Hager also ran some makerspace classes this summer at Crocker, so he got to utilize his space, teach his kids how to use the space. A lot of 5th, 6th, and 7th graders, so current students, but also students coming into Crocker with Makerspace. He ran an intro to vector design, a laser cutting design class, and a vinyl design techniques. He also had 36 students, which again, great numbers for our program when you're thinking about the sort of constraints we had with COVID. And we have some partner programs at West School. Champion Camp utilized their campus for most of the summer. So thank you to West. And I'll thank all the principals in a second. But at South School, Adventures in Writing ran a 3-week camp at the end of summer. Green Room Theater, who we currently run with our fall programming, ran a program at North. Let's Get Crafting, which is ran by Wendy Leung, who's a West and Crocker parent. She did it in the Crocker Art Room, had about 12 students there. And then we had two programs that were ran by Crocker alumni, who are high school, college age students, Debate Camp and a Wearable Tech Camp. And again, trying to bring back our community, bring them back into the fold, have them teach our next generation. That is it. Before I get any questions from you, I just want to thank everybody for helping. So it takes not just me and Ryan in our rec team, but it also takes all of our principals being patient with us, working with us, and allowing us to use their space to run these amazing programs for our kids. Because at the end of the day, this is what it's for. We do everything for them. So thank you to Heidi at North for sharing your space with us. Crocker, Maria, thank you so much. Lena at South and Heather at West. So I just appreciate you and your teachers for allowing us to use your spaces. We do get in that refinement of it's our space, and it was really nice to share those spaces this summer. So thank you so much. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Tony. Ann?
Congratulations, Tony. We were talking about this before the meeting, but you went from 0 to 60 like overnight, and it's just amazing the reception to your programs. I mean, I think the question is barring cloning Ryan and Chris, you know, how can we continue to increase the capacity or get other teachers involved? Or, you know, I'd love to see a partnership with APG to get the word out to the kids that have left, because, you know, it seems like it's very word of mouth, but I think it's just great that you're bringing the alumni back, and I think they look for these jobs, and I think this would provide structure and more of a summer experience for them. So I think it's all great. And, you know, I think that we all are in support of you of continuing to grow your programs.
Craig?
When I reviewed this, I was blown away preparing for this meeting. I certainly recall every year, as you say, the Hillsborough teacher serving as the summer school principal coming in, but maybe it's just me. I don't recall seeing a presentation like this before, all of it in one place. And it's overwhelming in a good way, because you and your folks had to work on it, and I didn't. This sounds like a stupid question, but with this breadth and scope of activities, I would think you're already planning now for next summer. I mean, how do people put in proposals? How do you put this all together?
So we typically start working on this in November. We have sort of our core programs that we run, right? So in last year, the last couple of years has been really difficult to sort of plan and pin down what we actually can and can't do. So last summer, we were kind of throwing things together. I would even say probably closer to April, May, where we'd like to have everything done sort of November, December, January, right? That's when you want to be able to present to families, this is what we're doing. So summer school, we already have the dates. Summer high, summer camp, we've already got the dates. Like, so it's all those things that we already sort of know about. It's just filling in and hiring, and that's when it comes into like that. Once we get out to families, then we're hiring for it. But it's a... The like one-off programs and like the debate camp and things like that, sometimes they're coming in like the first week of summer and we're saying we'll try it. So like the debate camp, Justin Yip and Anna, I'll never forget her name, oh my gosh, Elizabeth Fitzgerald basically came to me in June 10th, 4 days before summer, and said, hey, I have this great idea. And it was like, I know they can pull it off, so I'm going to let them try it, and they did. And so that's part of my job is to just let it throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. I will say that's how Bounce Around the Bay and Nature Camp started. It was like, let's just try it and see where it goes.
Yeah, what I really liked also, and then I'll shut up, is it, as you say, a lot of it is just about having fun. But for three or four or five of those, there was an underlying, I don't know, motivation, interest. This helps build leadership. This helps do this. This helps do that. This is a gap that needed filling. So I really loved the thinking and rationale behind it. So thank you.
Yeah. So we have, you know this, Greg. We always have to appease to both the family, the parents, and the kids, right? So the camp is fun, but all those underlying things is why a parent signs up. So it's a little bit about
Gilbert.
Yeah. As I recall and look back in the past, there are quite a few campuses which are used by, you know, longer camps, longer standing camps. And, you know, you have shorter programs this year with more diverse options and opportunities for kids to engage. Is it opportunistic or is it strategic in terms of the shift from kind of the cookie cutter, you know, the same program every week at a campus versus this more a la carte approach?
Yeah, so I would say that... when Galileo wasn't going to come back to Hillsborough, that changed a lot of our thinking. It even, as you noticed, Champion Camp was Crocker North. I mean, it had been there for 10 years, as long as I'd been here. And so our thinking was that should be the hub of Hillsborough, the Crocker North campus. That's where Hive should be, the Hillsborough Rec program. Why are we giving this wonderful space to someone who comes in and uses it for a couple months and then leaves? So we wanted to take over that campus and sort of make it our own. Hive is the program that you can sign up for all summer. It is the sort of, like you said, the cookie cutter kind of program. One of our goals through all of this, and this is Brian's background, is actually making it more like college. So parents can sign up for the sort of a program and then join Hive afterwards. COVID kind of put that on hold, but like the goal would be, hey, do the robotics in the morning and then come to Hive in the afternoon. Hey mom, you've got a middle schooler, okay, put them in the Emerging Leaders program all day and their elementary school student can kind of bounce around to do two different activities, do Peter's volleyball camp in the morning and then robotics in the afternoon. So we wanted to sort of build like sort of the intercession, you know, if you remember, like the intercession kind of programs where you can kind of pick and choose your own adventure kind of thing. Yet if you just want Hive, you can do that too, which is a full day program. So that's our, it's strategic. It also was opportunistic based on how we saw the things lying.
Great, thank you. Very, very innovative.
Kim.
I sang your praises at the last meeting, but I want to agree with what Greg said, that the intentionality behind your programming was just so creative and innovative. And when I was at the Rise Parent Coffee last week, was that last week? Yeah. And hearing Grace, the parent group, Rise Parent President, talk about her goals for acceptance and inclusion, and hearing Bhavna talk about accessibility for all abilities, it just strikes me that it's like what you do in the summer is you give these inclusive opportunities for anyone that wants to participate, and letting kids be kids. And so congratulations, and just throwing this out there, overnight camp, just saying.
So that and those and transportation are my two worries. So if you can find a place on campus where you can do overnight, that's a different conversation. But yeah, thank you so much. No, it's been a pleasure.
And just really quickly from my perspective, I guess I wanted to clarify for the board and the public. Tony is very politely presenting to us about what happened, but there is, he actually reports through to the Recreation Commission, and Trustee Chen and I are on the Rec Commission. So there is additional governance beside what this board provides to what happens in the Rec Department. Thank you for that, Tony. I do want to report as well. So last week I was at the Crocker New Parent Reception, and I talked to multiple parents who talked about their sixth graders in your new Crocker Leap program, and how they just began with, you know, I was meeting new parents, and how's the year going? You've had a few weeks of Crocker. How's your sixth grader doing? Oh, fine, everything's easy. Well, we did do Crocker Leap, and that transition allowed them to understand the Crocker campus and be comfortable, and really launch them on a successful beginning. And that was multiple independent conversations, unsolicited. So I just wanted to say that that looks like a new program that really met a need for some families. So I appreciate that. I also love to see Bouncing Around the Bay. I remember when that first started. It was popular from the beginning, but it just has continued to grow by leaps and bounds, which is great to find such a successful program as well. So thanks for that. Any public comments on Tony's summer presentation? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Takamasi. Fantastic. We'll move on to 3.3, 2020 through 21 unaudited actuals, Joyce Shen.
Hello? Okay, good. It's working. Good evening. So this is a time we close the books, and then it already happened. And so we report this, and then get a board approval by September 15th, and also sends to the county. And so it's perfect timing here. As usual, I will talk about the changes from the 2021 estimated actuals, which were presented to the board when the 21-22 budget was developed. And I'll also compare prior years, the years preceding 2021 versus the 2021 unaudited actuals. And then I also updated the general fund multi-year projections and talk about enrollment, and also the topic that we don't see any time, it's gonna go away anytime soon, which is the STRS and PERS contribution cost increase that's still going on. And I'll leave time for questions. So these are the changes. It's a one snapshot. You will see that overestimated revenue by $277,297, and also overestimated expenditures by $452,000. So in the end, it's reduction in the deficit, right? So at the adoption budget time, I mean 21-22 adoption budget, the estimated actuals for 2021 was $297,000, and then so when we close the books, it ends up to be $122,540. I was really hoping that we can be at least like net zero or have a positive number there, but I've tried and I cannot change actuals. So it's better than I estimated. So and then total transfers is transfer in and transfer out. We transfer in $80,000 from Fund 40, and it will transfer out $35,000 to Fund 20 to OPEB. So that's a net. And then the gain and loss, it's the same amount, the changes on a surplus or deficit, which means that we gain $175,009 more than I estimated. And normally this would be also the change on ending balance, but this year it's not the case. So you will see the beginning balance, I added a difference. You will see the difference, $43,515, which never happened before. This is because of GASB 84, a new requirement that requires the ASB, the student body account, to be accounted for in the district financial statement. So it was given to the district pretty late, so we got all the actuals. I mean, we actually get a bank statements from each side and then audit its reconciliation every month. We have the numbers. It's just never recorded in our financial system. So I worked with the auditors, and then we just put an ending budget revision, put it this amount as the beginning balance for 1920, because we need to account for it for this year, for 2021, sorry. And so that's why you will see ending balance is $218,524 in the positive from estimated actuals. In 2021-22, we will be able to set a budget for those ASB accounts. And then this is the total for district total for all four sides, $43,515, this amount. Okay, so these are the summary of the changes in revenue. Property taxes, EPA, LCFF, and pretty much is the property taxes is $32,000 for $466 was underestimated, so we came out of having more money from property taxes. We also came out to have a little bit more federal revenue, $24,647. And the state of revenue, that change mostly was a change of the STIRS on behalf amount. And in the end, it was $104.49 million, and because we have to calculate it. So it's not real much change there. On the state revenue and the local revenue, I overestimated local revenue by $215,000. A big part of that was a change in the HSF money for the $200,000 that so it was in the budget for so supporting the school district. The arrangement is that we submit all the receipts to HSF, and then the reimbursement will come to us in 21-22 October. So I just have to just delete that $200,000 that I thought it's gonna come in 2021. So that's the change. So money is just still coming, it's just late, and it's based on the actual receipts, and which is not $200,000. Anyway, so we'll see that well, I overestimated revenue by $277,297. Okay, so here is a pie chart for all the revenues. And then no doubt we're still very much a community funded basic head school district. And we thank HSF for being a big portion of this pie chart. And a summary of the changes on expenditures. So certificate salaries, I overestimated by 12,000 and classified is 6,000. So overall it's $47,000. We have a $30+ million budget, so I feel pretty happy with this estimated variance. And the big part is still variance on books and supplies and services and operating budget, operating expenditures. I think next year I'll work more with the journaling, and I think mostly probably with size budgets, you know, and then we're planning to spend, or it was on there, but we didn't really spend it. So we'll be closer next year. Other outgo, these are the money paid to the county for special ed instructional programs, and also money we pay to recreation for the instrumental music program. And if it goes over the budget, and then we just have to pay the actuals. And so these are the where the underestimate came from. So in other words, we ended up a little bit more than we estimated. All right, so here's the expenditures, and then salary benefits and it gets increasingly more. And I calculate it's a 85.6% of our whole expenditures. Of course, that includes the $1.4 million of stores on behalf too. But it's still a very big portion of our expenditures. And then it's not something we can help. And then we are in service to students. And here, prior year's actuals versus 2021 audit actuals. So this is a basically it's a historical review. And then I just look at this middle line, surplus and deficit. So we had two good years, 17, 18, 18, 19. We had big surplus there. And that's when we also started to say we should have moved out more toward the fund of 30, 20, right? And then in 18, 19, we moved at 93,000, you know, $99,000 toward the fund 20, but we never was able to make that again. So anyway, we have a little deficit here in 2021. Multi-year projections, this is looking into the future. For the 3 years out, I did not change any of the budget here because I've like waited to the last minute in June for what we are likely to get from the state and federal, all kinds of stimulus funding. So I think I captured everything. Even though the names came different, accounting code came different, I didn't see a need. I mean, there will be some realignment of this money belongs here or and moves there. But the dollar amount, we didn't really see an increase. So I didn't see a need to change to the adoption budget for 21-22 here. But of course, the beginning balance is going to change because now we have the actual ending balance from 2021. Okay, reserves. Because we did increase, you know, from the very beginning, you remember we have surplus, and then we actually had a surplus from compared with estimated actuals is over $200,000 more. So that all goes toward the reserve. So if you compare with the multi-year projection, which is also uploaded on the agenda item, you will see that the reserve level has increased because we got a little bit of surplus here. And this is the all funds at a glance. What I want to point out is that because the interest rate was so low, so when I closed books and then our interest, the fourth quarter interest all came out lower than I projected. It's really hard to make interest in it, as everybody knows. So fund 20 and fund 17, when we these are where we have most of the money, and 21, the interest came out lower than we projected. Hopefully, I don't know when this is going to change. But anyway, and I also want to point out there's a fund 51 here. This is our bond, and then it's something that the county deals with, and then it's paid by taxpayers. It's really, we're reporting our financial statement, but it's not really in our books. And enrollment comparison. So I was talking to Luann the other day. We're hitting the bottom, and last year we had 1,268, and this year, same time, we have 1,269, one more the same time last year. But this ADA, we don't know how it's going to turn out. And our ADA here, you will see that ADA is 1,243.78. That actually was based on 2019-20 P2. It's end of February of 2019-20. And that's it. That's a snapshot. And for funding purposes, this entire 2021 was based on that number. And we don't know how the ADA for 21-22 will be calculated. And so we'll see. So my projection here is to stay the same. And these are the CalSTRS and CalPERS cost increase. And then I just want to point out here that we had some kind of slow down a little bit, and actually the little decrease in the rate in 2021-22, but these increases are not going away. It catches up in 22-23. It would just give a temporary relief. It helped, but we're still responsible for the increase later on 22-23. And same with PERS, even though PERS never reduced its rate, even for temporarily. Here we go. So, and finally, this is the total cost, combined cost of increase in the student per employer contribution over those years. So where do we go from here? And then especially when I presented the budget, I talked a lot about the one-time funding, and we have ESSA 1, ESSA 2, and we have a CARES Act, which we already spent, and then we also have, just the learning loss mitigation, ELOC, and all that. I just want to point out that all these one-time money comes with strings attached. And then with whatever amount we got, we were told you can only spend it this way. So it's not, I think when Governor Brown was in office, we sometimes get a one-time money. They just call it discretionary. They give to the school district, we have the liberty how to spend it, right? We don't have to do certain things to get the money. And this is different. This is every money, every dollar we get, you have to spend it the way they ask you to. But challenging part is, for example, for this ELOC money, and we would have set a budget based on average salary of people we hire, but we cannot control who is coming to the door, who is the best employee we'll hire. And it often ends up because we do attract excellent candidates, and then we end up paying more than we projected. That's the second, this item here. It costs the district more to meet funding requirements than actual funding, okay? And also the roof maintenance and $300K, and Ron contacted me. He got someone to, I think, look at the roof for Crocker Gym. Got a quote on that. It was not a terrible increase from a few years ago when the plan was laid out. But this was put off because we were saving money for the IT infrastructure. And I didn't know Ron was going to do it this year, so it's not in the budget. And you will need to go to the budget at first interim. And also universal meals. And Luann put a paragraph in one of the Friday newsletters. And everybody must have heard that almost all other school districts, except the ones like ours, like Portola Valley, Las Lomitas, the smaller ones, the basic aid ones, everybody's offering free meals to the students, right? In fact, I think likely the breakfast, the brunch, and then lunch. And we cannot do that because we are not part of the national lunch, free reduced lunch program. Even though, because of our participation rate, I mean eligibility rate, the number of students in our district that is eligible for free reduced lunch is so low that if we were to start a program and try to get a reimbursement from the state and then federal government, and then we pretty much got nothing back. So that's why the district has had a choice lunch, and because in the end, the parents have to pay anyway, right? But with this universal meals, and then I mean, this is still up to legislature. In January, if there's funding appropriated for this purpose, this is going to fly. But if there's no funding, I don't know where we're heading. But even that said, I'm still preparing. And I've been, informing leadership that a lot of work needs to happen. And then I've had a vendor and a wrong, we walked through the kitchen. So our kitchens are not ready to cook. And we don't really have stoves and the ovens. If there's any there, they're not fit for cooking. So we need to revamp that. I don't even have an estimate for that. And after this book's closed and some other pressing agenda is done on my desk, and then this will be my big project to cost out and also actually submit a request for bidding. So get this process going. Ongoing general fund subsidizing is like probably necessary. It has to happen if we have to offer a universal meals, even with the state funding, and it's not gonna be enough for us. I just wanna give people a perspective on that. And then time for questions.
Thank you, Joyce. Trustees, any questions about the unaudited actuals? Is there any public comment about the unaudited actuals? I don't see any comment. This is an action item. So I will move that we approve the 2020 through 2021 unaudited actuals. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Joyce. You can stay for the next item, 3.4, resolution 2021-06, the GAN limit.
Yes, thank you, Don. This is also something we do every year. And every year when I close books, we have a gain limit form that's on here. This comes directly from where all the numbers they entered. It comes directly from SACS, the software for reporting. So if this number in the end is positive, and then we just have to have a resolution, basically. Basically, the board is required to adopt this resolution, and because the limit, gain limit for 2021 is increased, and the projected 21-22 gain limit is also revised and then revised. So unless there's any questions, I just recommend the board approve resolution 2021-06 to increase the gain limit.
Are there any comments from trustees on the gain limit? Is there any public comment about the gain limit? Anne, Trustee Chen.
I move that the board approve resolution 2021-06 adopting the revised 2020-21 GAN limit and the projected 2021-22 GAN limit.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Trustee Chen, a second by Trustee Wai. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Joyce.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 4, the consent agenda. Do any trustees wish to pull anything off the consent agenda? In that case, I move to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second by Trustee Wai. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Consent agenda passes unanimously, including, just for the record, resolution 2021-05. Moving on to item 5, public hearing for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have any items not on the agenda tonight that they wish to address to the board? I don't see any. Item 6, communications and board item discussions. Do any trustees have any items for the good governance of the board? I don't see any of that. Item 7, public address concerning items on the closed session agenda. We will have a closed session after this regular meeting is done. Do any members of the public have any comments on the closed session agenda? I don't see any. In which case, item 8, we can adjourn at 7:03. Thank you all for coming.